Well, you know, if you know me, I am Pastor Ken. Pastor Steve's a senior pastor, and he's not here right now. And I've spent the largest amount of my adult life dealing with all kinds of people in different places and different stages of life. I spent 20 years in the Navy running reactors, and I got to work with young men that were, you know, in their early 20s and teens and on into their 30s and 40s. I spent about 10 years doing drug and alcohol counseling and dependency counseling. On the submarine, I was a lay leader. I was basically their pastor because on submarines, you don't have chaplains. And so I've spent a large amount of my life dealing with people in different stages of life from early, you know, being in their teens into their 80s and 90s and everything in between. And so I've been asked questions like these quite a bit. Says, you know, I want to change and to do better, but I don't know how. I've looked at my life. I've thought about things. I know that there needs to be some change going on, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make these changes in my life. I've had people walk up to me and young people walk up and say, I wish I could wash my brain and start over. You know, I wish I could just kind of get a do-over, hit that reset button, just clean everything up and start fresh. I don't know what to do. I'm facing, you know, this life crisis. I'm facing this huge decision. I'm facing some things in my life. Ken, I don't know what to do. I want to be a better person. I want to be a better person, but... And then after that little word, they kind of lay out why they don't believe that life can ever get any better, why life could change, why they could be, you know, any different than they are right now. I would like to be a better person, but I want to make better choices. Or one that I hear a lot, especially in the counseling office, is I just keep making the same mistakes over and over, no matter how hard I try. The same kinds of relationships, the same kind of destructive behaviors that I've been doing for years, and it's no matter how hard I try, please help me. These are things that have been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. I want you to look with me at Psalm 119, because the psalmist is really addressing a very similar question. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 6, says, how can a young man, really how can anyone cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Amen? I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's Old Testament. Does that really still apply today? I want to look at something in the New Testament as we start. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to read this first part with me out loud and loudly. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does all Scripture mean? It means all Scripture, right? It means everything from the beginning to the end of this book is inspired, is God-breathed. Do you believe God was strong enough to create the universe? If the creator of the universe is strong enough to make something out of nothing, you know, as we talk today, he formed everything out of the dust that he initially made. Do you think that he's powerful enough to keep this word inerrant? that this word is accurate from end to end, that it's applicable today as it was in the past. You see, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what we're talking about today, doctrine, teaching, laying out some understandings, helping us to connect with the principles of God, for reproof, for bringing that, you know, maybe that wasn't the right thing or the right way to approach things, and it helps us to understand, for correction. You were a jerk, Ken. That was wrong. And you need to repent. It's good for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How do you make decisions? How do you know the difference between right and wrong? How do you know what to do in a given situation? All Scripture. That the man or the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, this is where our starting point is today. Is that whole idea that the entirety of God's Word is here for our benefit and for us. So we're going to take God at His Word this morning. Amen? We're going to look at Psalm 119, and we're going to see how it can equip us to live better, holier, more complete, clean lives. See, how can a person cleanse his way is a question that has been asked since the very beginning of time. Since the very beginning. And the answer, by taking heed to God's Word. What does that mean, taking heed? We know what it means to take heed to the directions to get from point A to point B. You know, if we heed the directions, we understand them, and then we follow those directions and we get from point A to point B because we took heed and it was laid out before us. Taking heed is really that concept that means that, you know, we need to believe it and to do it and to live it. Taking heed is about action. It's not about knowledge. There are a lot of people that know a lot of God's Word that don't know how to make application of it. And therefore, they are not taking heed of what it is that God has laid out. See, if we're going to take heed, this is my challenge to you today. I'm going to speak this word out of Psalm 119, and I'm going to give you some other references. But if you're truly going to understand it, it means you need to go home over the next day and the next few hours. You need to look up that scripture. You need to look at it. You need to think about it. You need to look up some of the supporting scriptures. You need to kind of dig into that and figure out what does it mean so that you can understand the point of what's being said today. Not only do you need to understand the message, but then you need to choose to be obedient. It's your choice. Oh, well, that was nice. Set it on the shelf, walk away. Or, I'm not doing that. Or, yeah, okay, I get it, God. This is what you're speaking to me. This is what, you know, pastor said. This is what I've read in your word. These are how those thoughts are coming together. I get it. And Lord, I'm going to be obedient to that. I'm going to take action. Taking heed is about being actively engaged and not passive. So how do we do that? Well, we begin to see it when we look into the Word. It says, with your whole heart, with my whole heart, I have sought you. How do you seek anything with your whole heart? What does that look like? You know, if we're going to understand what that means, it's pretty simple. If I'm chasing after something with my whole heart, putting everything into it, then that's where I put my time. Those things that I think are important, those things that I'm chasing after, those things that I'm pursuing, those things that have value to me, they're the places that I put my time. I spend effort and energy going there. You know, I love bicycles. I love to ride. I spend time doing that. I spend time out in the community. I spend time out on the roads. I spend time doing that. There are those of you that you don't value that thing, so you don't spend time doing that. That's okay. But if I'm going to understand, and this is obviously just an example, what I value, what I chase after with my whole heart, it's where have I put my time and my talents? What am I good at? You know, some of us have the ability to be healers. I see a nurse in this room, and I see a paramedic and a firefighter in this room, and they've invested their talents in places where they're passionate about. They're passionate about helping people. That is important. They've pursued those things with their life. They have invested themselves into that. And so we would say that there's evidence of the value of that in their life. So what are you chasing after with your whole heart? Where do you put your time? Where do you put your talents? And where do you put your treasure? Your treasure could be your tools. I'm looking at a guy that helped us put things together at Naval Avenue to serve all those kids. He put his expertise to work, to help, because he valued the community and reaching out and loving on those kids. You know, I know of a couple of ladies that I talked into going on a 100-mile bike ride yesterday, and they raised money to help with the American Lung Association because they valued what could happen if we can find a way to overcome reactive airway disease and asthma and cancer and some of those things. They put their treasure and their time and their talents out there. So my question to you today is, what are you pursuing with your whole heart? Because the psalmist is saying this. It says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. With my whole heart, I've invested my time to chase after you, God. I've invested my talents, my abilities. I've invested my treasure, Lord God. With my whole heart, I have sought you. And we can ask ourselves that question, what's the evidence of our lives telling us? And if it's not that God is significant and a priority, then we need to just come to grips with that because He's speaking to us this morning. How do we live a clean life? And it goes on, it says, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Do you understand that what the psalmist is saying right here is he's saying, God, I know your word. I've been taught and trained. He says, God, I've chased after you. Let me not wander from your commandments. He goes, Lord, I know that in our country right now, that the whole country has said that, you know, same-sex marriage is okay, Lord. That abortion is okay, Lord. That, you know, basically situational ethics, that's okay, God. The whole world could say that all those things are okay, but God, what does your word say? Because this word is truth from one end to the other, and it's teaching me what's right and what's wrong. Lord, don't let me be distracted from your commandments. Don't let me be distracted from your heart. Don't let me be taken away, God, just because as a culture that we've decided to move in a different direction. Guard my heart, God. Do you understand that this is a cry from the depths of the psalmist's heart, recognizing that he was likely living in a place too where people were compromising and moving away. And it's so much easier to just go along with the crowd than it is to stand and to be counted as different. And he's crying out, Oh God, let me not wander from your commandments. How do I live a clean life? How do I make better choices? By chasing after God with my whole heart. God's principles and precepts are the right answer every time. Don't second guess them. Don't move away from them. Don't take shortcuts. Don't get slack. Stay on point. So how can I do that? How can I not wander away from His commandments and get lost? It goes on in verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And the word that's used here for word is really fairly unique. It's only used 21 times in the entire Word of God. There's over almost 6,000 references to word. So this is kind of a unique one, and it talks about the speech, the words, the commandments, the dictums, the answers. So how can you hide God's word in your heart? Well, first one's kind of obvious, right? You can read it. You can pick it up. You can read the words and go through it. How many of you have a smartphone or a tablet? Okay, those lights are right in my eyes. It's my fault. Okay, so you got a smartphone and a tablet, right? So how many of you have YouVersion on that smartphone or tablet? Okay, a lot of you. That's just a free Bible program. Do you know there's like 17 different versions of the Bible that have been read from end to end that you can listen to on YouVersion? So you could read the Word, you could listen to the Word, you could allow the Word to be read to you while you follow along, you can begin to engage all the different elements of your mind to be able to connect with it and to hear it. You know what? You can think about it. That's kind of a novel concept, right? I mean, it's one thing to read the Word and to get the stories, but it's another thing to really think, so what's the principle? What does that mean to me right now? You know, how does that apply to me? How does that apply to my situation? You know, from my own life, one of those scriptures that just has radically changed my life is James chapter 1. Most of you have known me, for a long time, and I'm pretty even-keeled for the most part. But there was a time when that probably wasn't so. See, James chapter 1 says this. It says that we're to be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. And I began to think about, what does that really mean? Because, I was a man of temper at times. And, I could pretty easily chew somebody up and spit them out and not really think twice about it. And I began to think about that scripture. Slow to anger. Slow to speak. Yeah, not so much. Quick to listen. And God began to speak to my heart. He goes, so do you believe me? Do you believe my word, Ken? Do you believe what's between these pages? He says, because I'm talking to you right now about how you're living your life. Doesn't matter that everybody might think that a Navy chief is this kind of a person. Doesn't matter that someone that's been raised in an alcohol-addicted family and been exposed to all the chaos might have certain ways of coping and keeping people pushed away. He goes, yeah, that's all your history, but I'm talking to you right now. He says, think about slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. And then if we're going to put God's word in our heart, he says, meditate on his word. You know, a more current word might be visualize. You know, daydream. And this is what that means. So when I began to internalize this word, I began to meditate on it. And so I began to run through scenarios in my mind. What if the next time that somebody was, you know, terminally stupid and I just wanted to strangle them, that God said, bite your tongue, slow down, ask a question, listen to what they're saying, figure out what the real problem is, and then speak. And so I began to think about that with the guys that I worked with. I began to think about that with my children and how I interacted with them. You know, those that are to be seen and not heard. That's not biblical, by the way. I began to think about that and to meditate on it and to visualize, how would that change my relationship with my wife? And so I thought about the next time this happens, and I played it out in my mind 4 or 5 times, this is what I'm going to do. And life happens, amen? I'd like to say I was perfect. I wasn't. But I lived out about 80 to 90% of what I had visualized in my mind as I had meditated on how I wanted to do things differently, and was able to put that in practice. And over time, by consistently doing that, it changed me at a core level. See, this is what it means to hide God's word in your heart. And then you can pray it. God, help me to be a man that will be slow to anger. Help me to be a man that, instead of creating more problems by the way I react to people, that I would be that person that can now respond in a more healthy manner. God, help me to be a man that will learn to be slow to speak, that I won't say things that I regret later. Help me, Lord, to be able to change that part in me as we partner together in this. And God, help me to be a better man than I was before. And, you know, finally we can sing the word. Now, I didn't sing that word. But didn't we sing some beautiful scripture today? A lot of those encouraging words come right out of scripture. It's another way to hide scripture in your heart. So when he talks about, how can I hide God's word in my heart? I can read it. Guys, you can't get this just on Sunday mornings. You have to engage with God. I can read it. I can think about it. I can meditate on it. I can memorize it. I can pray it. I can sing it. I can listen to it. There are so many ways that I can work at and be very purposeful about hiding God's word in my heart. Psalm 37:31 says, the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps slide. Do you understand from everything that we've said already? We're talking about the power and the value of God's word when it's put into our lives and allowed to work there. His word will guard you from sin. It will help you to make better choices. And he'll, even if you don't know exactly what the right answer is, the more the word you know, the better you're going to be, for two reasons. First, the more you know, the more you'll recognize the difference between truth and error, right and wrong. Even if it's not, you know, as crystal clear as thou shalt not kill. Okay, I'm, you know, pretty simple, right? Don't do that. But there are nuances, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because Jesus talked about the principles and the nuances. And so the more you know the Word of God, the more you'll recognize that. And the Holy Spirit will have more to work with, because the more of the Word that's inside of you, the more he can say, you remember this that we were talking about? This is what it applies to. act like this. Be gentle. Be loving. Be kind. Allow yourself to exude the fruits of the Holy Spirit so that you can be a part of the solution in this circumstance. Yes, you're right. That person just vomited all over you and it was ugly and it was unpleasant and it was nasty. But don't allow that to be what guides your next step. Allow my heart. When we hide His word in our hearts, we give the Holy Spirit more to work with. Verse 13 goes on and says, "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." It's important that we begin to talk about what God has spoken to us. And it's not just me as a pastor. How many of you have a favorite scripture? Doesn't matter what it is. You have at least one favorite scripture. That ought to roll off of your lips in a way that is like when it applies to a circumstance that you ought to be able to just, you know, use that as part of your normal vocabulary. You know, when I was talking with Tom and Jessica this week, one of the things that was so significant is connecting with the reality that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. To understand that not only did He give Himself, but that He knows what that's like to walk through that horrendous loss, and that we are His children, and that as much as we feel that loss today, that God loves us with an even more perfect and greater love. And to be able to begin to connect with those things, we need to declare out of our mouths the reality of God's word. Why? Because we're human beings and because we learn by speaking. We learn by reading. We reinforce things that are significant by speaking them out loud. We give testimony to the goodness of God. We give testimony to our faith. We allow ourselves to hear ourselves talking about the Word of God, and it's significant. It says, "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth, O God." We talk about His Word, about His commandments, His principles, and His teaching. This not only reinforces His wisdom to us, but it allows us to give it away to others. How is it that you have confidence and you're not crazy with all that's going on right now? I've been asked that outside of these walls. When I was in the Navy, people would ask me all the time, because in the Navy, just like most places, you're not allowed to proselytize. But if somebody walks up to you and says, "Man, can you believe what just happened in New York? Can you believe what just happened in, you know, and fill in the place of one of our recent tragedies? Man, what do you think?" And it's like, "Man, it's difficult, but I have confidence that I'll get through this. I have confidence in the God that's within me, that He's in control. And I don't understand why everything's going on, but I know that He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He never has, and He never will." Because that's real. And you can speak out loud on the Navy base, on a ship, in the shipyard, at school, or anywhere else. When someone asks you a question and your relationship with Jesus is real and genuine, you can say that out loud. Because if they don't want to hear it, they cannot ask. I mean, this is important, folks, because we've allowed ourselves to be put in this box. This is how we let God back into our community, is using the freedoms that have been given to us. Within the confines of the government, we can do that. If somebody asks you a question, you don't have to deny your faith. But that's a rabbit trail. Psalm 37:30 says, "The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom." Do you understand that it's not saying that the mouth of God here? He said the righteous. Who's the righteous? It's the man and the woman and the person that chases after God with their whole heart, that allows His Word to be implanted, that allows His Word to change the behavior, that begins to understand what the Beatitude says, when I hunger and thirst for righteousness. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Psalm 34, come children, listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. He's calling us. There are people in this room that have walked with God for over 50 years. If you're not imparting that to someone else, that's sad. Because God tells each and every one of us to give away and to draw in and to do all that we can to give away faith and wisdom and encouragement to others, whether it's our children or to another new believer or to anyone else. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you will go. When I internalize the Word of God, He says, I will instruct you in the way to go. Verse 14 and goes on, says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. We need to thank God for His victories. Amen? I've seen miracles. I've seen incredible miracles take place. I've seen people healed in a moment of time. And I've seen the answer be no. But so many times as believers, we expect God to do a miracle and for us to not do anything. All right, God, it's in your hands. Take care of it. It's all about you. Do you know that's not the way God normally works? Just a couple of simple examples. How many of you guys remember the commander that was told to go dip in the river? That guy was cheesed off. It wasn't his river. It wasn't even in his country. And he was a bigwig. And he said, you know, his expectation was, you know what, you just wave your hand over me, or you put your hand on the leprosy, or you do something magical and special, and you take care of this if you're such a great God. God's not a respecter of men, but he did have a plan. And he said, no, go to this river and dip yourself 7 times. And that guy was not happy. And some of his servants had to kind of like kick him in the rear end to get him moving. But he finally did it. Can you imagine about the 3rd or 4th time dipping in that river? Nothing happening? Because I'm convinced not one thing changed until he went under for the 7th time. And when he came up, because of his obedience, because he was willing to do it God's way, because he followed what the Lord had said, he was healed. And he was changed. And I'm convinced he was changed way more than if God had just, somebody had waved their hand over him and the leprosy had gone away. Do you remember Jesus in the New Testament? You know, why would you pick up some dirt, spit in your hand, make mud, and then smear it on somebody's eyes? Because something in that individual needed to follow through in faith and obedience to the Lord. Because he healed other people, right? Just done, healed. They can see, they can walk. But yet this one, he smeared mud on their eyes and said, go wash. And they did it. And they could see. We see a number of instances where those things work together. You know, how many of us would think that we would ever win a battle with a torch in a clay jar? And he told Gideon, yeah, get rid of all these people. You got way too many. You're going to depend on yourself. And he says, now take those torches, light them, put the jars over it, and I want you to walk toward the camp. Now break the jars. And he brought victory, amen? Do you see the common thing here is that God is working together with each individual that he's saying, I could do it on my own, but I'm bringing you into this. This is significant. You have to be a part. You need to do your part. For my wife and I, we prayed for years that our granddaughter Katrina's seizures would go away. In Jesus' name, we prayed faithfully. We had faith. We had no doubt that God could do it, but his answer was no. His answer was no. And almost a year later, she had another test done that revealed a greater problem, one that could have caused her to be paralyzed later in life, at least partially, and that would never be healed. God's answer was no, so that she would get the test that she needed to reveal what was needed so that she could be taken care of. God worked with doctors and nurses in the medical community to bring about a miracle by his sovereign will. Amen? Make no mistake that God uses miracles where he just does it on his own in a moment, and he does miracles when he uses people that he has gifted with healing gifts, and he uses doctors and nurses and counselors and firemen and, you know, doctors and lawyers and all these different people to help bring about miracles as we work in concert. But it starts with hiding his word in our heart. It starts with trusting him and obeying what he tells us to do and following through. We need to rejoice in the way of God's testimonies, in those victories, as much as in the riches of man. I love Philippians chapter 4. For me, this is my mental health verse. It says, everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, if all I do is pray and get on my face and cry out to God and intercede and fight, if all I do is focus on that, it's easy to become discouraged and depressed, unhappy, because all I'm looking at is the problem. Even though I'm lifting it up to God, I'm just looking at the problem. And God says, you should do that, but remember the thanksgiving. Remember when I came through and I saved your life? When I protected you in that accident? Remember when I showed the real problem of what was going on so that your granddaughter could be healed? Remember when I saved that relationship that you thought was unsavable? Remember that man that you worked with when you were a drug and alcohol counselor that they kicked out of the Navy and had no hope, but you stood by his side? And 2 years later, some guy walked up to you in the grocery store, tapped you on the shoulder and said, do you remember me? I'm the guy that you didn't give up on. And my life is incredibly different today. Remember those things with thanksgiving, because then you will have the strength to fight the battle on your knees. Yes, pray. Yes, supplicate. But don't forget to be thankful, to recount the great things of God. To bring that together is a powerful thing to help us to have the energy and the heart to pray. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I already talked about the idea of visualize, about what meditation really looks like. But he's talking about, God, I will do this. I will really genuinely make this a practice on purpose. And then it says in verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Everything that we've talked about today is about the power of God's word. How do you live a clean life? How do you say, you know, I've made these wrong decisions for so long, I don't know how to make a different decision? God's word. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right course is. Turn to God's word in prayer. I'm not sure how to be a better human being. It's all about God's word. And you understand, this isn't a book. This is a letter. I think every one of us has probably received a letter. A letter is so intimate. It's a letter that God wrote to all of us because we're all part of the body, but it's an intimate letter saying, I know what you're going to face. I know some of you are going to face life and death. I know some of you are going to face these tragedies in life. I know some of the things are going to be, you know, great, that some things are going to be joyful. But this is my letter to you. I love you, and I've given it to you so you can hang on to it. We need to rejoice and delight. That idea of delight is to pursue, to chase after the Word of God. So how do you cleanse your way of life? These simple steps. Take heed of His Word. It's not about knowledge, it's about taking action. Seek God's Word and His ways with your whole heart. Invest your time, invest your talent, invest your treasure, invest your very best into seeking God's Word and His ways. Hide His Word in your heart. Think about it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Pray it. Listen to it. Sing it. Whatever it takes, all the above. Hide His Word in your heart. Declare with your lips the words and the principles and the ways of God. Rejoice in God, in the partnering with Him. Rejoice in the things that He's done. Come with thanksgiving. Meditate. Visualize. Think about how it could actually work, and then put it to work. And delight yourself in knowing God. Delight yourself in chasing after Him and striving to please Him. This is the way that we can move from whatever place that we're at today to living a clean life. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that we've had together. Father, I pray that each one of us will allow this Word to find fertile ground, Lord God, in our spirit and in our heart and in our soul and in our decision-making, Lord. Father, I pray that You would begin to stir each one of us, that You would begin to speak to us about the significance of Your love letter and how to make it more than just a book with 66 different books in it, but how to engage it, Lord, as a love letter from You written to our very hearts and lives. God, would You speak to us today? Would You transform us and help us to be more like Jesus? We ask this in Your name. Amen.